got just one or two, they're not really words of knowledge, but they're kind of prophetic things, which might be for a number of people. But let me just read those out before we get going. Hello, everybody. How you doing? It's good to see you all. Praise God. The first thing I wanted to talk about was disappointment. I felt there are a number of people here who, you know, you've got great faith and you've been believing God, you've been patient, holding fast, standing on the word. But there's deep disappointment in your heart, if you're honest, about some things. And I wanted to address that just briefly this morning. Disappointment comes to us when our experience is less than our expectation. I just wanted to say this from the heart of God. We came into a broken world. Some of us believe it should be perfect, but that is for another world. You will always be disappointed if you think this world is the next world. Yes, our mission in life is thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, but that presupposes that it is not here yet. So there will be disappointments in this life. And I just wanted to share that with somebody. Not a loud amen there, but you know, I'm sure it hit the spot for some of us. And the second word I got was about striving. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. God wants to do it through you. He doesn't want you working so hard that it all depends on you. I got a picture of a floppy glove, you know, those things you put on when you're doing the dishes. God just wants you to be a floppy glove and let him put his strength into your floppy glove and let him do what needs to be done. Let the master put the strength of his hand into your floppy glove and let him build your house. That's a good place for an amen right there. Okay. Floppy glove, that's all I am, Jesus. I'm your floppy glove. And number three, I saw a rainbow. We know a rainbow speaks of hope, doesn't it? Speaks of hope. God said, you know, when you see the rainbow, it's my promise, I'm never going to flood the earth with water again. And light is made up of seven colors. Let's see if I can get this right. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Okay, well, you've got better scientists here than me, but there's seven of them, right? And when you see the rainbow, you sometimes, I don't know why God put blue, indigo, and violet all together. I mean, I don't get the difference, but they're there, and obviously he has a reason for it. So, but there's seven of them. And I saw somebody traveling along the rainbow. This is your journey of hope. This is, you're on a destination. You're on a journey. You're believing God for something. And I need both hands. It's like you're on a jungle gym and you've grabbed hold of one of those colors and you're journeying. You're just hanging on to one of those colors and you get halfway across the rainbow and one of the colors fails. It just like disappears or it breaks. And it's like, oh no, but you quickly grab one of the other ones and you hang on to that promise to get you to the end of your journey. And that one starts to get a bit shaky and it starts to disappear in your hand. Hey, what's happening to that bar? What's happening to the color? I thought it was something I could really depend on. And it breaks and you grab another one. But there's seven of them, and seven is the perfect number. And God's promise to you is, if one color fails, there is another. The colors won't run out till you get to the end of the rainbow. Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't God just amazing? There's something about that picture. Everybody stand up with me. Say with me, I'm highly favored. I'm deeply loved. I'm greatly blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm deeply loved. I'm greatly blessed. Come on, one more time for the soul. I'm highly favored. I'm deeply loved. I'm greatly blessed. Hallelujah. God bless you. Sit down, turn to someone and say, raise back. Acts 27. Paul is going on a journey and he's a prisoner and the ship is in the middle of a storm and it's about to sink because the waves are pummeling it. And Paul had advised them before the journey, don't take the journey, because an angel spoke to him and said, his spirit spoke to him and says, don't do this. It's going to be dangerous. But they did it anyway. He was just a prisoner. Why should they listen to him? Acts 27, verse 21. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Take heart, for I believe God. And I don't know what kind of a crisis you're in right now or what situations you're facing, but I would encourage you with this scripture. Take heart, for we can believe God. And I have believed God. Verse 34, not a hair will fall from your head. The hair, of course, represents God's care for us. Jesus says, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God not only knows how many hairs you've got, they all came out in an order. And God knows the order of each single hair. That's how much he knows and cares about each one of us. Take heart, for I believe God. God has spoken some amazing things to me over the years. And I have believed God. And I have seen remarkable provision. I've seen miracles. I've seen amazing things. God said it. I believe it. That settles it with me. I have believed God. Let's see where that all started. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Did you bring your Bible with you this morning? Or have you been spoilt with my wife's overheads? That went over most people's head, but I notice it didn't escape yours, Diane. Genesis chapter 12. This is God talking to Abraham, verse 3. It says, I will bless. No. No, it's actually verse 2. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. God picks Abraham and says, I'm going to empower you to be somebody. I'm going to make your name great. And we're children of Abraham. This is our inheritance. And you shall be a blessing. That Hebrew word be is the verb hayah, and it's used to specify the dynamic forces behind and within the action. When God says, let there be light, the word be is a very creative word. There's potential, there's power in that word to actually set in action the creation of the very thing that is being promised. It's like, that's the word that releases it. you shall be blessed. And the word be is a, there's something in it. There's a creative force behind it that makes it happen. There's power in the promise to perform what it promises. That's the incredible thing. It's not just a word that somebody's talking. There's power in the word if you can receive it. And there's a gift of faith that God has given me. And when I'm speaking, don't just hear words. Hear something behind. Hear his words in the words I'm speaking, because it can release something in you to possess what God has promised. They're not just words on a page. It needs the Holy Spirit, the power, the dunamis of God, to take a hold of what's in that word, to release it in your life. And if you're here by the Holy Ghost, it can put something in your spirit and you'll grab a hold of it. And faith says, that's mine. I take it. It's not just something, it's out there. It's not just pie in the sky. It's steak on the plate right now, mate. And I take it. Faith takes a promise and declares it done. We are not waiting for healing. We are the healed. There's a manifestation to come, yes, but we are the healed. We're not asking, we're taking. And I know it sounds presumptuous. I know it sounds arrogant, but I love it when my kids just come up to me and say, Dad, I want to go somewhere and I need $20. Thank you. I'm so looking for, excuse me. Are you okay with that? My kids are coming home for Christmas. Woo! When they come home, I want Amy to say to me, Dad, I want to go to Rotorua or something, and I'm taking the Mazda. Do you know how good that will make me feel? It's not, oh, please, please, Dad, would you consider, I mean, I know I'm not worthy. I know, you know, when you taught me to drive, I didn't do very well. And get out of here. You're my kid. You're my kid. And I'm your dad. And I'm proud to be able to bless my kid. And you better ask me if you can use the Mazda like you own it, because you do. Faith takes what belongs to us. The Greek word ask, if you shall ask anything, it shall be done for you. Ask, the word means take. It's a self-prompted taking. This is good. This is a whole lot better than your amening right now. So the word be, the Hebrew word be, the use of heyah declares the actual release of power so that the accomplishment is assured. Abraham will be blessed because God ordained it, because he said, you shall heyah a blessing. And in the saying of it, Abraham is blessed. There's something about you called an aura or whatever you like. It's the presence of God. It's the glory. It's the wealth of God which is settled on you when you said yes to Jesus. You came into the blessing. You stepped out of the darkness and stepped into the glorious kingdom of his light, and you became one who was chosen to be blessed. You became one who was destined to succeed. You became one who was destined to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, in front and not behind. You've got angels assigned to you. If you need anything, all you have to do is ask. And we have not, because we forget to ask. Thank you, Kevin. You can come again to my service anytime.
You have angels going before you. You have opportunities. There are doors opening for you. Maybe you don't recognize them because Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? I've made all this preparation for you, but when I come, will the faith be there to see the opportunity? Or will you say, oh, that's not for me. Oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, I couldn't do that. Be strong and of a good courage. God said to Joshua, yes, there's giants in the land, but you be strong and very courageous. Courageous ain't going to cut it, kid. It's got to be very courageous. If you've ever done anything for God, if you've done something for you or on your strength, you don't need courage. You do something for God, you're going to need courage, very courageous courage. But he's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Greater is he who's in you than he's in the world. Greater. I'm more than equal to any task that confronts me. More than equal to any challenge I face. There are problems in life. Find the answer and fix it. God's given you the ability to solve problems, not look at them and tremble at the knees. You're an overcomer. Amen. You're a mighty man or woman of God. You've forgotten who you are. Wake up and start ruling and reigning like a king or a queen on the earth that God destined you to be. There's a purpose for the power. Hallelujah. I get a little excited sometimes. If I'm shouting too much, turn me down. They'll hear me anyway. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. I will cause you to prosper. Now, here's the amazing thing. God's promise to Abraham was not dependent on his ability to be a good businessman. He made some terrible business mistakes. He gave Lot the choice of all the nice land, and what was left was just the mountains. And took Lot with him. That was a mistake. He lies to Abimelech about his wife. Almost had his wife join Abimelech's harem, for crying out loud. Not a very smart man. And then he forgets that God made a promise to give Sarai a child. And he decides to help God out and gives Haggai a child instead. And we get an Ishmael. How many of you had ever had an Ishmael in life? Well, how many, you know what I'm talking about? Something that you did before God did. And what you did was nothing like what God had in mind. And you've lived to regret it ever since. And Abraham had to ask his firstborn child to leave the house and send him out into the desert. This is a child. This is a boy. He was so proud of this boy. And Ishmael has been raised with the understanding, the concept and the belief that he is the chosen one. I am daddy's chosen. And I get to 10 years old and daddy says, sorry, I made a mistake. That's your destiny out there in the desert. You and mummy, off you go with one flagon of water. How can a father do that to his son? You know what? Abraham did have faith for Isaac eventually. But I think he's called the father of our faith because it must have taken an awful lot of faith to send Ishmael out into the desert, knowing that God was going to take care of him. I think that's a demonstration of faith right there. Have you got faith that God can handle your mistakes? It's easy to believe God for the right things that happen in our life, but can you believe God that the mess that you started by stepping out in presumption, by being foolish or by being ignorant or by being in too much of a hurry, you couldn't wait, you got too impatient, and you made one heck of a mess of your life? Have you got faith that God, who is the Redeemer of all our mistakes, can make that right? Can you believe that Before you were born, he knew the mistakes you were going to make. And his perfect plan for your life takes into account all those mistakes. Woo! And that which the devil meant for harm, God will use for good. Because that's the kind of God we serve. He takes the mess the devil served up and turns it into a delicious meal. He redeems it. You know, we're better off than if Adam had never sinned. We're better off. Thank you, Adam and Eve, for screwing up, because I get to be an inheritance with Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Ghost impregnated in my spirit. I'm an extension of the Godhead. I'm not God, but I'm an extension of the Godhead. I'm his son. His spirit lives in me. What does that mean? Is the Holy Spirit God? Is the Holy Spirit God?
Yes.
Is the Holy Spirit God?
Yes.
Where is the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
He's one spirit with your spirit. The Bible says they that belong to Christ are one spirit with him. Blow across here. Spirit means breath. My breath is one with her breath. Which one of those molecules is mine and which one is hers? You're one breath with God. No wonder when demons look at you, they tremble. Oh, Pastor, pray for me. The devil's after me. What are you going to do about that? I'm shouting too much. Sorry, I'm just really excited about this morning. Oh, Jesus, is this a series or what? You know, God has blessed you. And unless you cancel it with your own words, you cannot stop the blessing of God. It will find you. Turn to somebody and say, the blessing of God will find me. Israel's enemies tried to get Balaam to curse Israel. You know the story? He stood on the mountain and said, I want you to curse this people. And Balaam said, I cannot. God has blessed them. Hiya! And I cannot reverse it. I cannot reverse it. God has blessed you. You are blessed with Christ in heavenly places. And no one can reverse it. Only you can authorize your own demise. That was good. I was a poet and didn't know it. Only you can authorize your own demise. I'm walking in the blessing of God. Some Christians have more faith in a curse than a blessing. Pastor, pray for me. Someone put a curse on me. And Jesus put a blessing on you. Which one do you think is going to win? What have you got faith in? The blessing or the curse? Ah, but my great, 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 great grandfather was a mason. Yeah. And my great, 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 great forever grandfather was Adam. And he was cursed. And he put a curse on me. But when I stepped through the cross, I stepped out of the curse and into the blessing. And someone say, amen. Listen, if you start chasing, back, then some people make money out of this. I think a whole ministry is built out of this. I did it once. I said, look, if there's anything back there that shouldn't have been part of my inheritance, I don't want it. I renounce it in Jesus' name. Yeah, good, taken care of. I don't need to know the who. I don't need to know the why. I got better things to do than go chasing demons. I used to be very demon conscious. I'm not demon conscious anymore. I like what Bill Johnson says. I only focus on a demon long enough to pull the trigger and then I'm out of here. the blessing of God will find you. Hallelujah. I have believed God. Where's page 4? There it is. I'll finish this next week. I got way too much here for one message. You knew that anyway, right? Right. We got meet the pastors afterwards, so I can't. I got to wrap this up. I have believed God. God said to Abraham, "I'll make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great." I have believed God. He will make of you and me something great. It's our inheritance. And I have believed God. And I've suffered considerable anguish before I was a Christian and after I was a Christian. If I'm honest with you, I made a lot of mistakes in life. I've done a lot of dumb things. I have regrets. I've had disappointments. But this is not the perfect world. Remember? This isn't the perfect world. And we're only human. We got God inside us, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and the vessel's very earthen, if you haven't noticed. Feet made of clay. And like Peter, I have tremendous passion. I love God with all my heart. But I put my foot in my mouth far too many times. And I make lots of mistakes. But I have believed God. He's a redeemer of my mistakes. And that which the devil meant for harm, God in his mercy will turn to good. Plan B is going to be better than plan A, honey. I'm telling you, plan B can be better than plan A. And if plan B, if you somehow manage to wreck that as well, God's got a plan C. And he knows before you know the mistakes you're going to make. And before you were born, Jesus was crucified to be your Savior, to put it back together again. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall and had a great fall. And only the King can put your mess back together again. Someone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So I got these feelings about my failures. But I have believed God. I got these screwed up emotions. I got these memories that lie to me about my future, about my potential. But I have believed God. My mistakes and failures and the lie that follows them, I have made a choice not to listen to them. I have made a choice to believe God. What's God been saying to you lately? What's he spoken to your heart? In times past, even simple desires and aspirations that he put there, because he wanted you to have them. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You serve what you believe. You get to decide today, do I believe those thoughts, those failures, that are always talking to me like a tape recorder that's in my mind that just keeps playing back over and over and over and over again. Or the sin that you thought you'd forsaken, but the memory of it, the echo of it, takes a long, long time to die away. What are you going to relive? You're going to serve that memory? Or have you believed God that when he said, I put your sin in the ocean and put up a no fishing sign, I meant exactly. I will remember your sin no more. When you confess your sin, God doesn't know what you're talking about. Ha! The next time you sin is the first time as far as God's concerned. He doesn't remember. Oh, we remember. And how we remember, a lot of people, they won't take communion because they don't feel good enough. I'm not good enough for this. I remember what I did this week. I'm not good enough for this. I'm not part of the body, really. They'd be better off without me. You're remembering yourself. He said, remember me. That God's not in us, it's in him. It's not in us. And as long as you're looking at you, you're going to be discouraged, you're going to be disappointed, and you're going to want to give up. But I have believed God. It's in him. It's not in us. Someone say amen. Amen. And as long as we're looking to ourselves and looking to each other, we're going to fail. Floppy glove. Turn to someone and give them a floppy glove. Come on. That's all you got to do. That's all God needs. Come on. You can be your floppy glove. Whoa, let the master put his hand in there. Woo! You watch mountains move when the master in your floppy glove puts his hand up and says, move! You watch a demon tremble when you come out of your weak, miserable little self and let God put his hand in your floppy glove. Leave! You watch cancer tremble when floppy glove turns to mighty hand. I think we've met before, haven't we? I'm out of here. Jesus I know. Paul I've heard about. But who are you? Ah, floppy glove. I'm out of here. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the thoughts, the promises that he gives me. And those lies, I'm not going to bow down or serve them. I have believed God. He's made me the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. My enemies will come at me one way and they will flee seven ways. God's going before me to prepare the way. No man will be able to stand before me all the days of my life. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. What country? Any country. Wherever you are, you're blessed. The blessing goes with you. Thanks be to God who always leads me in his victory. Victory. Always, every time, every place. Oh, I might have a moment of failure, but that's not the end. Failure is not the end. Failure is part of the process. Failure is part of the equation, which leads to victory. Because a righteous man falls. I know we don't quote that very often, but a righteous man does fall. It says so in the Bible. It says a righteous man falls six times. Six is the number of man. That's the flesh. That's our humanity. But he gets up seven. Seven's perfection. That's the floppy glove. You put God in the equation, And a righteous man gets up one more time, then he falls. And you only have to get up one more time, then you fall to be a winner. I have believed God. Thanks be to God who always leads me in his victory. I'm almost done here because I'm almost out of voice. I will serve no demon's whisper. Fear has no grip on me because I have believed God. We are always believing. We're always believing something and something. What are you going to fill your believing with this morning? Stand with me. Consider the memories. Consider the pain, the mistakes, the failures, and say with me, I have believed God. Come on. I have believed God. Come on, talk to that thing. I have believed God. I have believed God. Look at the lies. Look at the past and your inability. You don't need much reminding. Say with me, I have believed God. Talk to the devil. I have believed God. Talk to that mountain. I have believed God. Talk to that impossibility. I have believed God. Fear. I have believed God. Doubt and insecurity. I have believed God. Yes. Raise them up young. Now look at the promises. Oh, look at the promises. Even though they may seem afar off and almost beyond your grasp, say with me, I have believed God. Hallelujah. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, if you'd like to pray the prayer of agreement for anything, with someone this morning, I'll be here. Kevin, Steph, you'll be here. If any two or three of you shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done for them by my Father who's in heaven. What a loving Heavenly Father we serve. God, you're amazing. You're amazing. And I have believed you this morning, and that's why I'm here. That's why you'll find me here every Sunday. Because I know this is a place where my Father's bread is fed. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Lift your hands and worship. Lift your hands and just worship. Just give them some praise right now. Give them some praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I have believed God. I have believed God. I have believed God. I have believed. And it shall be as it has been told me. Turn to someone and say, it shall be as it has been told me. For I have believed God. Hallelujah. That's a good place to put your faith right there. God bless you. Love you.